Congregation, if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy this afternoon, we'll be looking at the fifth commandment on Lord's Day 39. I want to read some verses in Deuteronomy chapter 21 from verses 18 to 21. And obviously, the death penalty for disobedience, disrespect to parents is not in force today under the reign of grace. But nevertheless, as we read these words, should be a reminder to all of the children in the congregation just how seriously God takes the lack of respect that we often show to our parents. It's not a light thing in God's estimation to dishonor our parents. And so let us hear God's word as we find it in Deuteronomy chapter 21, and we read verses 18 to 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And then if you turn in the New Testament to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll pick up our reading at verse 15. Verse 15, and we'll read down to the end of verse 9 in chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning our reading at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Amen. May God bless those readings from his word. Well, congregation, if you turn in the back of your psalters to page 75, if you have one in front of you, and Lord's Day 39. Well, you'll notice the question that is asked here is, what does God require in the fifth commandment, which of course is to honor your father and mother? And the answer is that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, you don't need me to tell you that many people today have a hard time with authority. In fact, many people are becoming increasingly anti-authoritarian in their views. Many people today think that submission to authority should only be required if and when it suits them, and when it serves what they think are their own best interests. And of course, the reason for that kind of attitude is because of the sinful nature that resides within all of us. By nature, we have a tendency to rebel against the whole idea of authority of any kind. The idea that there are people who are over other people, and there are people who are under other people, because God himself has established certain authority structures in our world, which we have a responsibility to submit ourselves to. Well, it's because of the spirit of rebellion against authority that is in every human heart by nature, then, that we have been given the fifth commandment: honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Because this commandment is actually all about restraining our native rebellion. It's about curbing and reining in our sinful tendency to rise up against all forms of authority. For you see, this commandment, it teaches us that God wants us to humbly submit to the authorities that he's placed in our lives, because in submitting to them, we are actually submitting to him. Because you see, all human authorities are given to us by God. And therefore, when we rebel against legitimate human authorities, we are rebelling against God himself. And that's why the Catechism then, as we just read, in dealing with the fifth commandment, it informs us that it requires of us that we are to show all honor, love, and fidelity, not only to our father and mother, but to all those whom God has placed over us as authorities. And that includes such people such as teachers at school then, politicians, police officers, office bearers in the church, and employers at our place of work. And as Christians, we're called to be those who honor legitimate authority then, even if we disagree with what's required of us at times. You see, so long as we aren't being asked to do anything that is contrary to God's word, we are expected to be obedient to all authority. Which is why the Catechism goes on to note that we are also to patiently bear with the weaknesses and infirmities of those in positions of authority over us. Because you see, God knows that parents and other authorities, they are human beings too. And so sometimes they don't always get things right. They make mistakes. They fall short of what we would expect from those in authority. And yet we're still called to submit to their instruction and correction with due obedience, because we are to remember that God has put them in that position and it pleases Him to govern us by their hand. Well, as we come to look at the fifth commandment and what it requires in more detail then, I want to consider three things about the authority that lies behind this commandment this afternoon. Firstly, its basis. Then secondly, its beginning. And then lastly, its blessing. So firstly, its basis. Secondly, its beginning. And lastly, its blessing. Well, firstly then, let us briefly consider the basis of the authority which underlies this commandment and the call that is here to obey those in positions of authority over us. And as we've already intimated, this commandment, it has its basis solely and completely in the fact that God Himself is the one who has established and set up certain authority structures in this life, whereby some people are over others. And some people are under others. And friends, that is clearly God's prerogative and right. Because remember, He is God over all. He is the sovereign God and creator of all things who holds all authority in His hands. And therefore, He has every right to delegate that authority to others and to expect that those He makes subject to it, they will comply with it. Think of what verse 1 of Psalm 24 says, for example, about God's right of absolute dominion. It says that the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein. Now in that verse, the Lord is clearly claiming the divine right of ownership over the lives of all of His creatures, both small and great, whether in heaven or in earth. Including you and I. Because you see, God created all things. God sustains all things. And He rules over them. And therefore, they are all subject to Him. They are all dependent upon Him. And as such, they therefore owe Him their full allegiance and obedience. And so we are called to heartily confess, to acknowledge that God, as our Creator, He is the sole source of all authority in heaven and on earth. If you see, no power, no authority exists outside of His domain, outside of His sovereignty or outside of His control. And therefore, when God sees fit to order our world, whereby He has chosen to rule over us in our day-to-day lives, not directly but indirectly, through giving authority to parents and teachers and governing officials, etc., then our responsibility is to bow to these people whom God, in His infinite wisdom and goodness, has appointed to rule over us. Remember, as we read in Romans chapter 13, every soul is called to be subject to the governing authorities which God has established. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And therefore, whoever resists these authorities resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment to themselves. Well, the Bible is very clear then about the basis for the fifth commandment and what it requires of us. For it means that to honor and obey the authorities appointed by God is to honor and obey God Himself. And to disobey, to dishonor the authorities appointed by God is to dishonor and disobey God Himself. And that means, boys and girls, that whenever you hear the commandment to honor your father and mother, and yet you choose to disobey your mother or father, then you are to remember that you are in turn disobeying and dishonoring God. For as we read earlier in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6, you are to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And as we read in verse 20 of Colossians chapter 3, children, obey your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And children, you're to obey your parents then, not just because it pleases them, but most importantly, because it pleases and honors God Himself. And the same is true when it comes to obeying the laws of our nation, or the elders and deacons of this congregation, or a teacher at school, or an employer at work. We are to do so primarily because it is pleasing to God and it honors God as God. And that's the point we need to establish at the very outset of our thinking about this commandment then. The fact that all authority is of God, and therefore in every act of obedience to lawful authority, no matter how difficult it may be, we are ultimately bowing the knee of our hearts to His supreme majesty and authority. And we are honoring and pleasing Him by giving Him His rightful place in our thinking and conduct. Well, having looked briefly at the basis of the authority that underlies this commandment, I want to turn to look now in the second place in more detail at the beginnings of this authority, or the place where we begin to learn submission to it. And it should be obvious from the command itself, it has its beginnings in one of the most basic of all human relationships, the relationship between parents and their children. And that's what I want to focus on this afternoon. Because you see, that relationship is the very foundation upon which all other relationships are built. And that means then, if we're to learn true obedience to all of the other human authority structures which God has ordained and established in life, then it all has to start here, in the home, in learning there what it means to honor and obey our parents. For you see, if a young child has learned how to properly treat their father and mother by showing all honor, love, and fidelity to them, by submitting to their authority in the home, then they'll be in a position to demonstrate that same kind of submission and honor to the various other authorities that they will encounter later in life. Such as submission to a teacher at school in the classroom, or to an employer in the workplace, or to those who have the oversight of them at church. And it's for this reason then that God begins the second table of the law, which is intended to govern the way we treat one another and how we're to love our neighbor, with this commandment to honor our father and our mother. Because God knows full well that no other human relationship is so fundamental, and none is more important to learning the nature of submission to authority. For you see, if we don't respect authority at home, then the chances are we won't respect it anywhere. That's why Augustine emphasized the importance of the fifth commandment by posing a rhetorical question and asking, if anyone feels to honor his parents, is there anyone else he or she will spare? Well, we're called to take to heart then here the importance of the family unit as the place where we begin to learn how to honor legitimate authority. And as parents, that means we're to remember how critically important it is for us to impress upon our children from their earliest years, as we saw this morning, through good instruction and correction, their need of being obedient to us, learning submission to authority. Because we need to recognize, as God's word makes very clear, and as other studies have shown, that the direction of a person's life is not determined when they come to age at 16 or 21, or when they decide to settle down in life or to get married. No, the direction of a person's life, it's largely determined when they are little children, when they are 3, 4, 5, or 6 years of age. You see, those are the years when their hearts and minds are most impressionable, when they are most able to be taught and instructed in the way that they should go. Makes me think, boys and girls, of a group of young elephants that I read about, which were taken from the Kruger National Park in South Africa to a different nature reserve at a place called Pilanesberg. And before long, this small herd of young elephants, they began to rip up the trees in their new home. They began to attack the tourist cars that would drive through the nature reserve to see them. And they were even threatening the rangers there. And it turns out that the reason for their aggressive and unruly behavior, which led to at least one of them having to be shot, was the fact that they had been taken away from their parents too early. Because you see, even a young elephant needs to have a proper adult role model in its life from an early age to teach it discipline and the rule of authority, or it will become unruly as it develops. Well, friends, if that is true of an elephant, then how much more is it true in the case of a child? And how we need to take seriously as parents then our God-given responsibilities to be the kind of role models that they need in order to develop in a healthy way. And how we need to continually cry out to God to give us the grace we need to seek to the best of our ability, to see to it, as the Catechism indicates here, that the instruction and correction we exercise toward our children, it is good instruction and correction. Well, that is the first task of Christian parents in nurturing their children, so as to encourage their growth or development in the area of submission to authority. Whatever else we may give them in life then, our most important role as their parents is to pass on to them the sound instruction of the Word of God, to exercise appropriate discipline in their lives. You see, these two things are always to go together. That's why the book of Proverbs teaches us that if we love our children, we won't only teach them, but we will also discipline them as necessary. For example, verse 12 of Proverbs chapter 3 says that a parent will correct and discipline the child that they love. And as we read earlier in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6, parents are commanded to bring up their children in the training or discipline of the Lord, absolutely, but also in the admonition or instruction of the Lord. And so these two things, they belong together. Now, obviously, parents are not to correct and discipline their children in a cruel, abusive, or heavy-handed way. That should go without saying. For if we do so, we'll only frustrate our children. We'll provoke them to anger, as Paul also says in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. And we have to be careful then. We don't discourage or exasperate our children by harsh or unjust or unnecessary discipline. Because you see, our discipline and correction is meant to be firm and fair, yet fair, yes. But it's to be kind and loving discipline. Because you see, it's meant to mirror and reflect the way in which our Heavenly Father disciplines and corrects His children. And He always does so in love, and because He knows it is necessary for the ongoing spiritual growth and refinement of his child. And our children should be able to recognize then, whenever discipline is carried out, that it is done in that same spirit and in an appropriate way, not out of mere frustration or impatience or anger with them. Otherwise, they will not respect us when we discipline them. Well, this commandment reminds all of us as parents then that we have responsibilities to our children to act toward them in a right way. But it is also aimed primarily at reminding children of their responsibilities to act toward their parents in a right way. For as the Catechism says, children are required by the fifth commandment to show all honor, love, and fidelity to their father and mother by submitting themselves to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also to patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. Now, what does it mean then for children and young people to do these things? Well, think firstly of the various words the Catechism uses here. It begins by using the word honor, which is the word that is contained in the fifth commandment itself. You are to honor your father and mother. Now, the word honor here, it's the Hebrew word for heavy or weighty. It's the word the Old Testament uses for the glory of God, for the weightiness of his divine majesty. And therefore, to honor one's parents, then, it means to give due weight and thought to their position. It's to give them the recognition they deserve because of their God-given authority as your parents. And that means that you will respect and esteem and value and prize them as gifts to you from God. Because remember, God is the one who has put your parents in your life to guide you and provide for you and help you. And therefore, children, you must show your father and mother respect with your words, for example, in how you speak to them. You're not to be cheeky to them. You're not to talk back to them or argue with them when you don't agree with them, or when they tell you to do something that you ought to do. And you're also to respect your parents with your bodily gestures, your entire attitude toward them, not only when you're in their presence, but even when you're not there. Well, children, you're to honor your parents then, but you're also called to show love and fidelity to them. If you see the honor you show to them, it must be a matter of the heart. It's not meant to be something that is merely external or put on. Children, you must truly love your parents, not with a love, therefore, that depends on your moods or what they may or may not have done for you lately. I mean, it's easy for boys and girls and children to love their dad and mum when they treat them to an ice cream, or when they buy them something they like, or they take them someplace where they'd like to go. We can all love our parents at these sort of times. But you see, genuine love is a consistent love. It's a matter of the will. It's a love which is expressed in fidelity or faithfulness to our parents from day to day, in all that we do, in how we talk to them, and in how we respond to them, yes, as we've said, but most of all, in our consistent obedience and submission to them, in that we do submit to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, as the Catechism says. You see, just as God's children express their love to God for all that he is as they're gone, all that he has done for them in Christ, by seeking to obey him and please him in all things. So too children are called to express their love, their gratitude for their parents by doing likewise. And that means then this commandment, it calls for an obedience which is reliable. It means that your parents have a right to expect that they can depend upon you as their child to honor and respect their wishes. And so you shouldn't be trying to hide things from your parents by going behind their backs to do or say or watch things that you know they wouldn't approve of. You should be open and honest and truthful with them. And that'll mean, for example, you won't lie to them about completing your homework when you know you haven't, and they'll never find out. Or you won't agree to keep their house rules about the use of cell phones or technology, but then you still use your device at all hours of the night anyway. No, you are called to be faithful to your parents by respecting their rules and expectation, even when they're not looking, because God is looking. Moreover, you're called to do so even when you discover their weaknesses and infirmities, and even when you happen to disagree with them, or you think they're out of touch with reality, perhaps, because they're just old fuddy-duddies. For you see, friends, that is the real test of love and submission to parents, to honor and obey them even when you don't agree with them or see why you should do all that they tell you to do. And of course, we're talking here about submission and obedience to things that parents have a right to expect from their child. And no parent has a right to expect or demand anything from their child that is contrary to the will of God, or that is detrimental to their physical or spiritual well-being. That would be an abuse of a parent's authority, something that God will hold a parent accountable for. And it's something that a child should speak to someone about if their parent is acting in that way. But children, in things that are lawful and right, you are called to submit to your parents, in spite of the fact they're not perfect, or you may think you know better than they do. Because you see, your respect for them, it doesn't depend on their personal qualities or the fact that they're perfect. No parent is perfect. But it does depend on the position and authority that they have been given by God as your parent. And remember, the Lord Jesus didn't have perfect parents either, and yet he submitted himself to their authority. He honored them throughout his life, not just while he was a child growing up in their home, but even once he had left the family home and been out of it for many years. For you see, this commandment doesn't cease to be relevant when we get older either. We're still called to love and honor and respect our parents, even when we move out of the home or we get married and set up a home of our own. Because you see, our parents will always be our parents, and we will always be their child. And that means we shouldn't dishonor our parents by neglecting them or ignoring them as they grow older. Remember, we're reminded in verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 23. We're to listen to our father who begot us. We're not to despise our mother when she is old. In other words, we must continue to honor and respect our parents as they get older. We must look out for them, take their needs to heart. And we're to seek to care for them, make sure that they get all of the physical, medical, spiritual, and emotional care they need then to the very end of their lives. Because you see, that is what this commandment requires. That's what it means to honor your father and mother. Well, we must move on to say something very briefly about the blessing connecting with this commandment. Remember, this is the first commandment with a promise attached to it, as we read earlier in verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 6. And God promises then as a general rule that those who do honor their father and mother, they can expect that it will go well with them, that they may live long on the earth. And obviously that's not an automatic guarantee to children who obey their parents that they'll live to be 90. But it is an assurance from God that life will go better for those who do so. Because you see, that is the way that God designed it to be. And I say to all of you children, and young people in particular then, be mindful of this commandment and seek grace from God to obey your parents in the Lord then, because that is the right thing to do, but is also the way to life and blessing. Because you see, God grants his blessing and goodness when we do faithfully and honestly obey his law from the heart. And remember, boys and girls and children and young people, God knows what is for your good. And you ought to listen to him then. You ought to give heed to this commandment and every other commandment. Well, may God enable all of us, whatever age or stage in life we may be at, to honor our parents, to honor all in authority over us, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Amen. Well, let us come together once again in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we thank you that you have given us your law. We thank you for parents that you have given to us, and all of us would acknowledge as parents, and even as we think of our own parents, that there are no perfect parents in this world. And yet, Lord, we do pray that all of us, especially the young in the congregation, that they would learn when in the home and even beyond to love and honor and respect their parents, to see that in submitting to them and honoring their authority, that they are in fact honoring and submitting to your authority. And we pray for each and all of the children and young people in this congregation that they would see that your law is given to them for good, that it might go well with them in life, in time, and for eternity. And we do pray, Lord, that you would enable them to obey their parents from the heart, to do all that they do as unto you, the Lord. And we do pray that all of us as parents would see that we have a responsibility to be an example to our children of true godliness, that they would find it easy to submit to us, to honor and respect the rules and regulations that we have in our homes, and teach us how to discipline and correct our children in a loving and a gracious and a kind way, in a way that is patterned after the way in which you deal with us as your children. Deliver us from being heavy-handed, from reacting to our children in an angry or in an irritable way, but we do pray that they would know and recognize that all that we do toward them is done out of love and out of a genuine care and concern for their well-being, spiritually, physically, emotionally. And we do pray, Lord, that you would bless what has been said then this afternoon to all of us as parents and children. And we do pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply these things to our own lives, to reflect upon them, that we might benefit from them, that we would learn how to live before you, how to honor you and love you and serve you faithfully in this life. Give us grace to do so, we pray. Forgive us for all of our shortcomings and failings in so many ways. We do thank you for Jesus Christ, the one who has kept the law perfectly, not just this commandment, but every other commandment, that we have life and freedom and forgiveness through him. And hear us now for his sake, for we ask it all in his name. Amen.